Welcome to the Ira Kaufman Podcast here on JoeBucksFan.com, featuring the custodian of Canton himself, Mr. Ira Kaufman, just a legend around town in Tampa Bay, legend here on JoeBucksFan.com. And we've got Ira working year-round. How about that, Ira? That, you know, people, when you came to JoeBucksFan.com, people are saying, oh, you're never going to get Ira to work hard. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? The man's a legend.
This is the real season right now, Steven, and I think we're proving it on JoeBucksFan.
Well, it's always the real season. That's the beauty of the NFL as we keep rolling along here on your podcast presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Ira, trivia question. What is one thing that makes them stand out in Brandon?
Luxury. Luxury, my friend. Luxury.
Exactly. They are the only luxury dealership in Brandon. Brandon's only luxury dealership. And right now, Ira, it's time to take a vacation, buy with zero down, and make zero payments for 3 months, or drive new ATSs, 319 a month, XT5s, Ford 39 a month. Take a vacation at Brandon's only luxury dealership. Visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Of course, Ira, approved credit, interest accrues from date of purchase, excludes leases, 39-month lease, ATS, $34.79 down, XT5, $45.59 down, plus tax tag, title, and the dealer has all the details. And, of course, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa is not forgotten, Ira. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. Great place to start your search, and we'll talk more about them later.
I thought those deals were going away after Christmas, Stephen.
Well, you thought wrong, Ira. The action never stops at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Those are the only Cadillac dealerships in Hillsborough County. It's very special and definitely
you
where you
and I
start.
Have checked out both of them. Service is spectacular.
We'll be back there soon, Ira. We'll be back there soon. Of course, I'm Steve Isbitz with Lee DeCamper. The house is full here at JoeBucksFan.com. We're actually doing a nighttime taping, Ira. It's good to get you out. Usually, I know you go to those early bird dinners for $6 a pop. And you're
this is not a Seinfeld episode. They're going out at 4:15 to catch the early bird special. And Jerry says, where are you guys going? Well, we got to get there. It's $3 off.
So, I know you're usually in bed by 8:15 watching Everybody Loves Raymond reruns. Or
Mrs. Seinfeld, put the air conditioner on, please, Mrs. Seinfeld.
Or those Bette Midler DVDs that you're always watching.
And don't forget Barbara Streisand. Throw her in the mix, too, Steve.
Can't forget Babs. All right, this is a Bucks podcast where, of course, we always hit on NFL topics as well, since you are an esteemed NFL writer, Hall of Fame voter.
Hold on, I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
As is my wont. Esteemed NFL writer feels like he's under siege, Steve. Now, we're not going to take up much time in this podcast, but I'm going to tell you.
We got all night, Aaron.
I'm going to tell you.
You're on fire already.
Since my little, sojourn to Houston town, of which I am now 0-4 on the John Lynch bandwagon, gentlemen, and I say that with no great pride, of course.
I hope not.
We are getting killed over this Terrell Owens omission. In quotes, nobody's written that John Lynch got snubbed. Why not? It's all about T.O. Well, it is all about T.O.
Yeah, because he's a baby.
I need to take a shot at our colleagues, Ira, here. I need to interject with a shot. Because when you say you're getting killed by national media, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk has been on this. And you'll dive into that. But you know what? John Lynch doesn't get in the Hall of Fame. The Tampa Bay Times, do they even write a story about, did they interview you to find out why this didn't happen?
I don't exist over there, Lee. I'm the enemy.
I mean,
they've also ignored one of the top on-air talents in Tampa Bay area.
We
won't go into detail what happened, but we know what happened.
Has that not been in the paper?
Not a word. Now, if that was Bubba the Love Sponge, they'd have someone camped out at the freaking hospital.
Steve, that's crazy. Steve Dumick's been doing that show for 25 years in drive time, and it's absurd not to tell the readers what's going on.
For those unaware, Steve Dumick, the big dog of WDAE, has been afternoon drive time host in Tampa. Top of the ratings, the dean of Tampa Bay Sports Radio, where Lee and I share the microphone with him on the JoeBucksFan.com hour. He's been in that role for 25 years-ish, maybe started 93.
That's an eternity in sports talk radio.
93, 94. And, as we reported, because we have a relationship with Steve, of his condition that he's stricken with. You can Google it. We don't have to go into his health condition.
He's going through a rough time.
But he's going through a rough time. He's off the air. It's a serious matter. And the Tampa Bay Times didn't even write about it. Not even worth a brief.
That is absurd, Lee.
It's absurd.
Like I said, if that was Bubba they'd have a guy camped out at the hospital with daily updates.
I mean, let's put it this way. If Dumig was arrested in a strip club or he passed away, God forbid, they'd write about it. To not write about this is
I'm going
to
trust Google.
Ludicrous.
The last two articles that have been written about Dumig in the Times were contract disputes.
Yeah. What if Dan Lucas was down with the serious illness?
Oh, they wouldn't touch it.
I don't understand.
Lee, that is the ultimate point that the newspaper, Tampa Bay Times, happy to write about Dumig getting
off the air for three days in a contract dispute
because he's off the air a couple of days, and now he's off the air. It's been a couple of weeks
indefinitely
because of a serious health condition. Shameful. But my point is that John Lynch doesn't make the Hall. The guy was just a Ring of Honor guy, and the newspaper doesn't call you to find out what went on in the room. You're the guy.
Fourth year in a row as a finalist. I'm still waiting for a phone call, Isbits. No call. Crickets, baby. Crickets. All right. I just want to say this about Terrell Owens.
Yes, please. Go on to your national obsession.
And I'm sending this out to your boy, Florio. Let him listen to this podcast, Lee. He's twisting things. He's misinterpreting things. And I'll say this, Steve. And we all lived through this with Keyshawn Johnson.
Mike's a good guy.
Lee, he is a good guy. Now, Lee, we were there in 2003. We saw this happen right here in Tampa. The Bucks told Keyshawn Johnson in midseason when they were technically not eliminated from the playoffs. You know, they had a bad start in 03, defending their Super Bowl. And I think they were something like 4-6, six games left. Steve, am I correct? They told Keyshawn Johnson, stay home. We don't want you around.
Which
we'll pay you, but don't come around.
Which coined the phrase Keyshawned.
And the Eagles did the same thing with Terrell Owens.
Well, they weren't the only ones.
The Super Bowl in 2005. Steve, they told him not to show up. Now, is anybody telling Derek Brooks not to show up or Warren Sapp show up?
Well, I think the key element here is the fans that are bitter about this and going bananas about this, they are ignoring one significant element. Correct me if I'm wrong, is it not in your bylaws that if a guy is that disruptive of a teammate, that could be held against him?
It says you take into account his actions as a player.
So,
and I think this counts.
So the fans are bent out of shape because you're following the rules.
Well, they're trying to, Steve, they're bringing in all kinds of things like O.J. Simpson.
Which is that's apples and oranges.
You know, Lawrence
apples
Taylor with cocaine. He got nothing to do with football.
He's a great teammate, number one. Number two, that had nothing to do with the locker room, yeah.
You know.
Now, O.J. Simpson's murder happened how many decades?
I don't understand why everybody's so willing to cut Terrell Owens all this slack.
You know,
I don't
understand.
I'm going
to say real quick, I'll let Steve take over. I'll say this real quick. God forbid someone's actions are not, or someone's behavior and actions are not, you know, how should I say it? Not held against him, but you know what? He dug his own grave. He made his own bed. And Terrell Owens has no one to blame but the guy he sees in the mirror. God forbid that you are, number one, you and your clique are following the bylaws.
Cabal.
I like it better. Number two, you're holding this guy a standard.
Yes.
And he, you know, thank God. I'll be honest with you. Maybe I shouldn't speak to this because I'm not objective. I always thought he was an a-hole, Terrell Owens. And you know what? His actions are coming back to bite him. Go ahead, Steve.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Well, here's the thing, Ira, and I'm going to take the other side. I'm going to I'll play the role of Florio as well as some.
If you didn't take the other side, I'd be shocked, Steve.
But I think there are some serious issues on the other side. Listen, when I'll throw this back at you, Ira. When Terrell Owens left the Eagles, when they didn't want him back, as you say, where did he go?
I believe he went on to Dallas.
Okay, so a Hall of Fame coach, a brilliant personnel man, a Hall of Fame coach himself, embraced him and wanted him in, knowing everything that he could possibly know about him.
Incorrecto, my friend.
That was a Jerry Jones move, was it not?
Parcells didn't want him, wouldn't even call him by his name, Stephen.
The player.
Okay,
that was a Jerry Jones maneuver.
And Jerry Jones is where?
Somehow in the Hall.
He's in the Hall
that's
of Fame.
That's a whole other podcast.
That's another discussion.
No, I understand that Jones is less there for his football acumen, but you still had these other coaches embracing him. It wasn't like he was a pariah in the league. And then the other argument that Florio loves to make is Michael Irvin. attacked a teammate in the locker room with scissors and stabbed him. Okay, so Florio has written many times, okay, well, how did you factor in that when you voted for Irvin? Or did everybody in the room say, oh, it's Michael Irvin, he's a slam dunk? So, I mean, the question is, what weight do we give the bad teammate or the pain in the ass guy? What weight do we assign to that?
That's an open question. Each voter must make that evaluation, Lee. But to me, did this guy hurt his team? Did he hurt his team?
Sure he did.
He clearly hurt the 2005 Eagles, you know. He didn't leave the 49ers on great terms.
Oh, he scorched earth.
And I believe the Cowboys gave him a huge extension, and a year later, dumped him. So that raises some questions, too. Now, guys, I'm not going to be silly here. I'm not going to argue about his contributions as a football player. They're beyond argument. Well, he's in the conversation, you know, among the great receivers. He's in the conversation. But, Steve, I'm sorry. Your actions as a teammate, to me, have to be factored in.
How do you see this ending, Ira? I mean, there's an assault. Mike Florio is going to keep pounding this. Darrell Owens is out there, and he's obviously loving every minute of this. Where does this end?
I think it's going to come to a head in 2018 in Frosty, Minneapolis, because there's a man named Randy Moss who's going to be on the ballot for the first time. And we're going to hear all the stories about Randy Moss. The comparisons are going to be drawn. If Moss gets in ahead of Owens in his first year of eligibility, I don't know what Florio's going to do.
Moss never blew up teams, did he?
Well, he's the guy that said, I only play hard when I want to. He's got his own baggage.
I will chalk that up to immaturity when he did that. But I don't remember him blowing up teams.
I don't think Owens was as revolutionary a player as Randy Moss, in my mind.
To me, if I were on the esteemed Hall panel, Ira, I would just try to look at it as turn the sound off, turn the announcers off, throw the newspapers out. What's going on in the field?
The eye test. Know,
and just go by that, because to me that's the only thing that's really fair, because nobody knows the real spin or the real truth. And some of these guys played, like Owens, played before social media and played before they had their own voice to counter what maybe coaches were saying or teammates. And
Steve, the guys in that room went directly to the sources. Teammates, position coaches, and head coaches. It didn't paint a very flattering picture of Terrell Owens.
Well, real quick, what I
are you suggesting
earlier?
They made these quotes up, Steven?
Alternative facts?
No, I'm not. I'm not suggesting any of the reporters in that room made up any quotes. I would think it's reasonable to think that maybe some people made some things up about Owens and embellished and expounded.
Had an agenda, perhaps.
And had an agenda. I mean, you're talking about asking a guy. It's like these reporters in the room asked ex-players about a guy they played with 13 years ago. Now, you're going to remember all the good things, or you're going to remember a couple things that stood out that were really lousy? You know, I don't know.
When you brought up Irvin, or Steve did the scissors attack cost him a Super Bowl? I don't think so. What I meant to say earlier, and I was way too wordy, I was struggling for the right term to use. God forbid actions have consequences. That's what I meant to say. That sums up perfectly. He was a bonehead. Now the consequences are coming in.
And, Steve, to put a little bow on this one before we get more Buck-related, I can say equivocation, gentlemen, next year, if I'm lucky enough to be in Minneapolis, and I'm giving the speeches for John Lynch and Rondé Barber, who would be a first-time eligible, Steve, no character issues whatsoever, no teammate issues whatsoever. We'll enter into those conversations.
Well, that leads up. Unless you got something to say real quick, Steve?
No, go ahead.
Because that tees up a question we had from a Twitterer. I think it's the infamous In Jameis We Trust, @InJameisWeTrust. He had this question. You brought the subject up. You teed it up perfectly. And you didn't know this question was coming either. What's going to be a harder sell next year, Barber or Lynch?
It's going to be a different kind of sell. A very different one, because I've told you guys before and our listeners on the podcast, Lynch doesn't win any statistical arguments, Lee. That's clear, and Brian Dawkins' candidacy brought that very much to light. And by the way, Dawkins made the final 10, so he's going to be a factor next year as well. He's not going anywhere, Dawkins. Rondé is a very unique player, Steve. I dare say, you know, I think there's 25 defensive backs in the hall. I'm not sure any of them have quite the resume that Rondé Barber has. You start with his durability, Lee. Mm-hmm. It's totally off the charts. It's record-worthy durability for a guy who's 5 foot.
Yeah,
ten.
I believe he passed Dick LeBeau most consecutive games by a cornerback or something like that.
Steve, that's not going to mean much if you're not a good player.
No, of course not.
You could argue, and I believe I will make this suggestion in the room, Lee. He kind of defined the position.
Yeah.
Voters love that. I can't make that argument with John Lynch. I can say he excelled at a position, but Rondé Barber maybe was the first great slot corner. He made the biggest defensive play in franchise history.
Yes.
Nobody's going to argue that, Steven. I can still picture it. So can Donovan.
Yeah, but that can't get you in the hall. That
This is a cumulative thing, Mr. Isbitz. It's cumulative.
We're here on the buildup here. You know? I get a preview.
I think he's got 14 touchdowns. A defensive back scored 14 touchdowns in a variety of ways. There was a blocked kick, whatever. Most of them came on picks.
Different pitch. We got you.
He's got a lot going for him, Rondé. But I'll tell you one thing that Lynch has going for him, and I would not discount this in the room next year. Clearly, going into 2018, he's the guy that's been waiting. He is the guy that's been waiting. Morton Anderson, gone.
Morton Anderson.
If I still play the Florio role, I'd say, Ira, who gives a crap if he's waiting? Let him wait all day long.
Well, sometimes that works because it worked for Jerome
Bettis. I know. It's a sympathy card.
It works for Harry Carson.
A kicker gets in.
So, we'll confer about our presentation.
Because you know how it is. When you're choosing sides and in the schoolyard, you always pick the kicker over the hard-hitting tackler. I mean, that's just the way it is. Let me get to some hardcore Buck stuff here, Ira.
Okay.
You wrote a column on Wednesday, JoeBucksFan.com, and you sounded like Mark Dominic 2009.
I don't know if I'm taking that as a compliment.
No, it's not. I'm reading this thing and I'm like ready to vomit. All right, I enjoyed it. I read it all the way through, but you're sitting there telling everybody draft and develop, draft and develop, draft and develop. You know, free agency's coming up, and every team has to draft and develop. What are you saying here? What are you trying to tell Bucks fans?
I think people getting a little too wrapped up in the additions that are going to come, and they are, through free agency and the draft. How many years go by where you don't have an impact draft pick in year one? I mean, in year one, that the guy doesn't make a big impact as a rookie. It happens a lot. I'm not saying you whiff on the draft, but sometimes it takes a year or two for the guy to make his mark. Steve, I mentioned six or seven young players, Lee, that are currently on the Bucks, and if they take the next step up, I'm suggesting to you gentlemen, and I'm looking at Isbitz right now, Lee. He's not buying it for a minute, but I am
that
suggesting
pensive look on his face.
I am suggesting that their continued development, and of course you lead with Jameis Winston, of course, their continued development will impact the 2017 Bucks considerably more than the additions they get in free agency in the draft.
I don't know about free agency. I was right with you. I was right with
See,
you until
right
you said free agency.
He's right with me.
See, free agency, you're bringing a guy in who's a seasoned veteran.
You
should be able to plug in and get impact immediately. You had me until you said free agency. Like, whoa. Then you ran off the curb as if you had a few too many beers here.
All right, let me dive into your logic, all right? I'm a little slow. It takes a little time for me to understand the depth of your knowledge. So
You got to coach these guys up, Steve. That's
okay,
what I'm saying.
So
coach them up.
Should we then, for the fans listening, wondering about free agency, should we then say if Ira Kaufman is the GM, that you automatically re-sign Akeem Spence, draft and develop, Will Golston, draft and develop, Bradley McDougal, draft and develop. Those are three guys that have come through the system, been here, contributed. Do we re-sign all those guys? Because that's what we have to do, draft and develop.
They're not core players, Steve. Those three are not core players.
Okay.
Stick to the guys that I mentioned, my man. your middle linebacker, Vernon Hargraves, okay. Noah Spence.
Define core player, because Golston is a key element on a defensive line as far as a run stopper.
I think that's a stretch to call him a core player. I know you guys like Golston.
But I don't consider him a core. I'll agree with you on that one.
What do you consider a core player? Because if you ask Clutter, he'd want him back.
Well, a core player is Winston to Mike Evans. I mean,
a guy that's hard to replace? Is that what you're suggesting?
Allie Marpet.
A guy that's hard to replace?
A guy that's going to get a second contract with your team And there's no questions asked. There's no questions asked. It's a no-brainer. And
Are you saying
Bradley McDougal's a no-brainer?
I didn't say that.
All right. All right.
Well, you know what? I'm going to
You're putting words in people's mouths, Kaufman.
I'm going to say this, Ira. With McDougal, and we'll see if Lee agrees or whatnot, as we sit here on your fantastic podcast presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, I'm going to say McDougal is a slam dunk re-sign. If you're not going to re-sign him, he's your best safety. If we're choosing sides, he's your best safety of the three we got. So I'd like our best safety to come back. He's 26, 27. He doesn't miss games. He's decent. That's a core player.
I think, you know, I'm glad you mentioned McDougal. I think he's a perfect example of the guy I'm talking about in my column in terms of development. Tell me if I'm wrong, guys, but a couple of years ago, wasn't Lovie Smith talking about McDougal like he could be the next John Lynch?
Well,
Lee, am I right?
Personally, I didn't believe what Lovie was selling.
Now,
so I
they were very high on McDougal, and I'm suggesting that he's okay. He's not a liability, but he hasn't developed the way they thought. And I think they got to do a better job of coaching him up.
You got to remember, Lovie was also pushing Toast Jenkins like he's the second coming of Rondae Barber.
Yeah, he sure was. Every time I'd ask about Jonathan Banks, I'd hear about Mike Jenkins, and I couldn't understand.
You weren't the only one. Trust me, Ira.
Well, I'm going to take another exception with you, Ira, because McDougal's undrafted. You're saying coach him up. He's damn good for an undrafted player. I mean, how far are we supposed to coach him up?
Ira's just
he's undrafted.
Has he peaked? If he's peaked, I think you're down the line, you got
to
replace
him. But here's my point, which goes to the broader thing and Will Golston. Will Golston is not a full-time player. Part-time. Look at the snaps. He is a part-time player. McDougald is a full-time piece. Mm-hmm. And right now, we all just heard last year from Mike Smith how important it is to learn the communication of this defense and that it takes time and guys are going to grow in the defense. If that's really the case, McDougal's a guy you have to have back because he's your best safety. Why would you ditch him?
I'll agree with this. If you're going to put my hands to the fire, or my feet to the fire, wrong piece of anatomy, I'm sorry. If you're going to put my feet to the fire, who you want back, McDougal or Golson? I'd say McDougal. I think that's fair.
Now, I will throw this out, gentlemen, just to play devil's advocate, which I'm good at.
Please, Ira, please.
They gave up an awful lot of long passes this year. As opposed, you know, now they changed the philosophy,
yeah. And
that 70% completion mark, which was ridiculous, came down, Steve, to about 63. That's a considerable improvement.
7%, yeah.
But, Lee, at the same time, that little bend that don't break defense that gave up 70% completions, they didn't give up a lot of long passes. That was the only saving grace.
Yeah, they were willing to give up 15-yard passes.
Keep everything in front of you. And this year, they did give up quite a few long passes. Your man McDougal's supposed to be the last line of defense, Steve. So I want a little bit more out of McDougal. A little bit more, Steve.
He's just a decent starter. That's it. But that's okay. Lee's written this many times in many different ways. I've written it as well. The Bucks went 6-2 to close the second half of the season. 6-2 with solid wins. And you know what? The defense is not why this team didn't make the playoffs.
Exactly.
So McDougal is there for all those games. I mean, he wasn't exactly a liability in the second half of the year. But it's fun to talk about. I just wanted to understand this draft and develop. It gets a little,
Well, I mean, I always look, you know, I think we're spoiled because we always look at New England and, and I'm not talking about the Bradys and the Gronkowskis, obviously. I'm talking about the secondary that changes every year and the guys they plug in. These guys have been in the system, Lee, and those coaches work with them. And when they plug them in, they're outstanding. They excel. Now, there's only one Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
I understand that. Look at the offensive line now. That offensive line coach is fantastic.
Yes.
Skarnecki. He's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he was gone, right? And they got him back.
Yeah.
Which was, and all of a sudden New England's offensive line did not have a great Super Bowl, but I think they only gave up 15 sacks all season during the regular season. And Brady's not the most mobile guy, as we know. And they got like four new starters up there. So
Belichick squeezed his blood out of the turnip, man.
I'm saying developing your young players, I just think, is a big, big key going forward.
Sure. I'll say this. You going to add something about the subject?
Go ahead.
Well, just earlier, I just wanted to say two quick things, our earlier Hall of Fame subject. One, the gentleman who asked that question was at Chef Aaron 26. So got to give him credit. Number two, and this is done with Rondae.
I'm going to set you up for your Ronde speech. Going to help you out here. Here's a point to make.
Can I take a note on this?
Yeah, please do. I have actually, and yeah, I'm sure you've heard this, if not read it. People have referred to Ronde. They kind of dismissed him like, he was a system quarterback.
I have heard that.
Well, guess what? Joe Montana was a system quarterback. Would he have done what he did if he didn't fall in Bill Walsh's lap and he ran, you're going to like this, the Ohio Valley offense?
Ooh.
No, they would not. Lawrence Taylor was a system linebacker. If he goes anywhere else and plays in a 43 defense, would he have done what he did? No, he would not.
I think your point is absolutely right, Mr. DeKemper. That is really weak to rely on this.
What's the guy supposed to do, freelance all the time?
Yeah. You play the way the coaches want you to play, mm-hmm. Steve. And Ronde Barber excelled. I'm sorry.
Yeah, excellent football player. And you have a lot to work with. Let's put it that way. You have a lot to work with when you do make your case. Now, Mr. Kaufman, we don't exactly.
When he says Mr. Kaufman.
Yeah, look out.
Yeah, look out.
You're the one
look
that out. Says everybody's name, so I picked up on it. You know, I'm mirroring your speech pattern. So, Mr. Kaufman, we don't exactly have production meetings for these podcasts or any.
Isn't that obvious?
Any sort of formal situation going on here.
Preparation,
right. Whatever you want to call it. But you did say you wanted to talk about Victor Cruz. Take it away.
All right.
What do we need to know?
Well, I wouldn't be so quick to dismiss him. I wouldn't be that quick. Now, I think the thing that works against him is that he's primarily worked out of the slot as a New York Giant. That's not necessarily what the Bucs are looking for, because Humphreys was pretty darn good in that role.
I got to give him credit. He got better.
Yeah, he got better. I think he had 10 catches in the season ender against Carolina. So he finished strong, Steve. He's not Wes Welker, but he's
he catches the football.
To use your words with Bradley McDougal, he's usable.
Yeah,
you know, you can win with him. Cruz has had some injuries, no question about it, well documented. But I happen to be very close with a guy that follows the Giants very closely, watches every game, Lee. And he says that Cruz, quote, got screwed in 2016
end quote.
Because Eli Manning was totally locked in on Odell Beckham to the point where it actually hurt the Giants' offense, which wasn't a great offense.
Now, is this one of your tennis buddies saying this?
This is not one of my tennis buddies. The guy lives in Raleigh. He's
Raleigh.
He used to be a Brooklyn boy. He coached at Lafayette High School to a state championship in Brooklyn. Knows his football.
Was he a football coach?
Yeah, he was a football coach.
I didn't know if it was bowling or something.
And he watches the Giants, and he says he thinks Cruz has something left in the tank. Now, you boys thought that about Roddy White, and it turns out you boys were wrong.
No, don't call us wrong. He never got a shot.
And why? Because Buck Brass didn't think he had anything left in the tank.
Well, I had a member of the Bucks Brass buttonhole me a couple months ago during the season. And kind of harangued me about how Steve was always banging the drum for Roddy White. And this gentleman said, you clearly haven't watched film of Roddy White.
Put it like this.
I'd be willing to bet $8,000 that Roddy White would have been more effective than Josh Huff, Freddie Martino from the Velvet Line Lounge in Riviera Beach, Bernard Reedy. Let the names flow.
Let the names flow.
So go ahead.
Now, let me throw this out, guys. Now, look,
so Victor
I'm not throwing an overwhelming support for Victor Cruz here. What I am saying is, suppose DeSean Jackson's off the board. Suppose he prefers to go back to Philly, or the Redskins decide, we can't lose this guy.
That's what he's hinting at. Yeah. He wants to go to Philly.
Suppose Garcon goes somewhere else, or he stays with the Redskins. Steve, what if the free agent wide receiver class dries up a little bit?
Well, there's more than those guys.
And you guys don't really want to rely on a first or second round rookie that, you know, that although the Giants rookie wide receiver last year, Sterling Shepard, that was a good pick.
Great football player. Who, by the way, Steve wrote about.
And he took some of Cruz's catches away. You know, you got him and Beckham. Well, you know, that's tough.
You're answering your own question from the gentleman in Raleigh. When you got Beckham and Shepard, there's really not much room for a broken down old receiver.
Do I think the Bucs are going to get go after Cruz hard? No, I do not. But I think he's worth a look, a cursory look.
All right, interesting IRL look. The guy's been injured, and I just
want to see him do the salsa dance.
I understand. I just think the Bucs' mindset is that they're not going to see any proof that he's better than Humphreys, and I don't think they would touch him. But I'll say this. You just said, Ira, it just came out of your mouth, you don't want to rely on a first-round rookie.
Not if you can help it.
Second round. Why not? Why the hell not?
Because a lot of them don't make it. A lot of them don't make it.
Well, but I mean, receivers, you shouldn't really screw up on a first or second round receiver. Shouldn't screw up that bad.
Are you listening to Mr. Isbitz here? Do we have to go over the litany of wide receivers that are taken in the first couple of rounds every year of the draft that we never hear from again?
Well, yeah, but there are also success stories, too.
There are.
Yeah, Mike Evans being one of them. I'm just saying I don't think there's anything wrong with adding that into the mix. But interesting about DeSean Jackson, some fresh news.
Fresh news.
The guy, who's the Washington Post beat writer? Mike Brown, is it, or something like that? Redskins beat writer.
There was a guy by the name of Reed that did it.
It's not Liz Clark. Jones? It's not Liz Clark. No.
Do you know his name?
I forgot his name. Not Mark Maskey. He's the NFL guy.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, Washington Post beat writer was on SiriusXM NFL radio this morning, Wednesday morning. And about a 20-minute interview, excellent interview. They asked him about DeSean Jackson. And he's basically said that his contacts and the latest on Jackson is that Jackson does not like being in Jay Gruden's West Coast offense. He doesn't like dink and dunk aspect of it. He doesn't like going over the middle. The beat writer actually said that he's been known to take some plays off when it's over the middle.
So he's a vertical man. He's a vertical.
And who's the vertical coach in Tampa Bay?
And that DeSean Jackson has made it clear to those around him that he wants to go play for a team with a vertical passing attack that will showcase his ability to stretch the defense, go deep. He also views it as a way to stay healthier.
That's his forte, right?
That's his thing. He wants to go to a team where he's going to get those home run balls. And immediately I started thinking what Lee just said, which is Dirk Cutter likes to throw the home run ball. Dirk Cutter runs a pro-style offense with play action if you have a running back. And obviously Mike Evans is on the other side. So it did throw a little maybe extra juice toward
That's good insight over there,
Mike
Steve.
Jones?
Mike Jones, yes.
This is a Cruz question, although it's not going to sound like it.
Mike Jones was the beat writer's name.
Yes. On SiriusXM NFL Radio this morning. Steve wrote this morning being Thursday, or Wednesday. My days are screwed up. We're taping this Wednesday evening. Steve wrote us, and he beat me to it. I should have written this a couple weeks ago. It was a damn good article. It makes all the sense in the world. Lewis Murphy is probably not going to get a contract from anybody more than maybe league minimum. Why not keep him here? Great teammate. Best friends with Jameis. Obviously had a connection. He's probably not going to be a number three guy. He's coming off an injury.
You're not saying he's the home run hitter.
My gosh, he already knows the offense. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. Now, would you, Victor Cruz, is he another Murphy? Is that the same level? Or I personally would take Murphy over Victor Cruz, honestly.
Interesting. If I was sure that he was healthy.
What do you think, Ira? Would you take?
I think that makes some sense, Lee, if I'm sure about his health status.
Well, I think the real answer is really in just what you said is that there will be other teams that want Victor Cruz. Mm-hmm. I think there's zero market for Lewis Murphy. He was blew out his knee late October 2015, had a tiny setback, which they said was not related to the knee.
Quote, unquote.
This past year, and then the Bucs cut him because they knew he wouldn't be back.
And he's not going to command a large salary.
No. And
why not bring him in?
So I look at it as if they don't get two receivers in free agency, sign Murphy to the league minimum. If he gets cut, he gets cut. If he doesn't make the roster, but what a great guy to compete as a number six, number five, and you never know what happens.
Doesn't bitch when he doesn't get the ball.
No, I mean, he's a consummate teammate. I mean, you're in the locker room. You see how he bonds with his teammates.
Steve, that was interesting stuff. That Mike Jones is the guy from.
Yeah.
You know where he might have got some of that stuff? And I'm not saying it's not Bruce legitimate. Jackson's agent.
I'm sure.
Yeah, Jackson's agent. I'm sure. And why not? What's wrong with that?
He didn't say where. It's funny you mentioned Bruce Allen. They were talking to him a lot about something Lee wrote about today, Kirk Cousins and that situation. And they made it very clear that made it very clear that the Cousins decision is 100% Bruce Allen and Danny Snyder. It's not the GM's decision. It's not Jay Gruden's decision, who at every turn is saying, I love Kirk Cousins. I want him here. I love Kirk Cousins. And so
it's a little dysfunctional in the nation's capital.
He made
it really
sound
is.
Extremely dysfunctional in the sense that the football guys aren't really the ones who are going to be making the decision. And at this point, I don't really consider Bruce Allen a football guy in the role that he has there.
But I think the problem with Cousins, guys, I really do, he didn't finish strong this year. A couple of bad clinkers there wrong time.
Their defense didn't show up either, if I recall
correctly. No, but you got to beat the Giants, Steve, when the Giants don't have anything to play for.
Ira, come on. back-to-back winning seasons in Washington. They can't get rid of the quarterback after back-to-back winning seasons when the coach wants him, and six or seven other teams have garbage.
And what are they going to do for quarterback if they get rid of him?
Yeah. Steve, do you make a long-term commitment? Long-term commitment.
No, I would just franchise him and,
a second time
and move on. Why not? If you don't want to commit.
I think Steve agrees with me on this because he's never brought this up. Usually if Steve doesn't agree with something, he's like, Lee, you're crazy here. It happens more than you would imagine. My contention is, if the Redskins sign Cousins, either Pierre Garçon or DeSean Jackson are gone, I can't see them affording all three of them because all three are going to command high salaries. Obviously, Cousins, what are you looking at? 15 to 20 million a year, roughly, ballpark
Cousins?
Figure? Yeah.
The franchise tag on him is $24 million. Yeah.
So I can't see them keeping both Jackson and Garçon. That's a lot of cash. That's eating up a lot of your cap. They probably could. I'm sure there's some way they could squeeze those guys in, but I don't see it.
They're not a rebuilding team, Steve. To your point about what to do, what are you going to do if you don't have Kirk Cousins? Steve, they're not a rebuilding team. They're a team that thinks they can do a little damage. So you can't start over with another young quarterback. I mean, if you're watching,
that was really my point. You just had back to back winning seasons. You're not rebuilding. You're just not. To Lee's point, sure, it'd be almost impossible for them to afford all three and have the roster they want. Redskins beat writer did say that clearly the number one choice would be Garçon just for the total package to bring back, and they believe he will come back.
That's kind of what Joe Theismann said a couple weeks ago. He was on NFL radio.
Who fits better in Tampa, Garçon or Jackson?
Jackson. But the problem with Jackson is if he has a reputation of taking off a play here and there, he's known for not going to all the voluntary,
bit of a diva.
Oh yeah.
I don't know about a diva.
Yeah, we know with Terrell Owens, if you don't stab a guy with scissors, you're okay with the guy.
Well, let me say this. I talked to Andy Reid at the Pro Bowl, and so I asked Andy Reid about DeSean Jackson. I'm glad I remembered this because it's in my recorder.
Unbelievable.
I forgot that I asked him about him. And anyway, he was talking about Tyreek Hill and another guy, and was comparing DeSean Jackson, and really was basically just talking about how intelligent Jackson is, that he hadn't really been around and a receiver that intelligent, and one of the reasons DeSean Jackson was so successful as a rookie and so quickly was that intelligence, and he can do it all. And Reed really went on to say that this guy is just so on another level of football smarts, and that got me thinking of what a guy to pair with Jameis, who's embraces that elite level of knowledge and whatnot. So interesting. I don't know. Jason Light goes there.
I think
though.
You guys would agree. If the Bucks do land Jackson,
there's your audience.
There's my audience. Guys, he's not a guy that's going to catch 85 balls.
But DeSean Jackson?
But the balls that he catches, they're going to be impact catches for the most part.
Well, not just that. Just the fact that he's on the other side of the field is going to make defenses like, whoa. So he can't. Obviously, won't focus on Evans, and it's going to open up the defense because they got to worry about the deep ball.
We've never talked about yards after catch as much as we are with the off-season Buccaneers.
Yakety-yak-yak. All right, Ira, you know what? Three things. One, we're at the 40-minute mark of the podcast, which we had a little complaint last week that it was 27 minutes.
Oh.
The people want more, and it's funny because it was 29 minutes, but often, most of the time I have time, I go into the podcast and I edit out all the ums, and I make you sound like you're brilliant.
That's
brilliant.
Outstanding, Steve. Outstanding.
I make him work because I'm always stuttering.
Do you cut it out when I say Lee and Steve?
Of course I don't cut that out.
That's my thing.
That's your thing. How could I do that? Come on. Then we'd be down to 15 minutes if I did. No, I'm kidding. No, but anyway, so we're at the 40-minute mark. So, hey, no cat calls. And, of course, remember, Ira, I said we were going to talk about Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. And you can get a break from your car payments with a Paycation, Ira. Paycation is still going on at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Buy with zero down and don't pay for 3 months or lease 2017 XT5 crossovers. Beautiful vehicle. That's my goal, is an XT5 crossover.
Can I pick the color?
Absolutely not. $419 a month. $419 a month with zero dues. Sign and drive. Located just west of 275 on Fletcher. Or click edmorescadillactampa.com. Of course, approved credit. Standard courtesy vehicle. 39 months plus tax. Includes tag, title. Interest accrues daily from date of purchase. All the details are at the dealer, which is Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. And now, this is going to be a hot topic here, Ira. because Lee's going in a direction. He's fired up. I'm glad to see he's firm and he's with a lot of the fans on this.
Are we going for an hour podcast here, Steve?
No,
we're
just going.
All right.
You're out at night. You got no.
I got wings in front of me, my friend.
You got no leash. You're free.
I understand.
You're flying free.
Ira, do you have a curfew? You have to meet your bride has you leash.
I don't have
a curfew,
but I got wings in front of me, gentlemen.
Oh, food. Okay.
I want our listeners to know that.
All right. So, the running back position for the Bucs. Okay, Lee has moved more toward the all-in direction of get a damn good running back in the draft and let's go over the top with we need a Doug Martin in his when he's good kind of guy, a guy who can really bring it. Before I get into what I think, what do you think about the Bucs running back position and the approach they should be taking from top to bottom?
I would be surprised if they took a running back in the first round, Lee. Now, I did look at the free agent list. It was not overwhelming.
Thin.
Very thin. Underwhelming, to say the least. I got to give you that. But I think running backs, they're not a dime a dozen, Steve. And, of course, there's a tier, you know, with the, Ezekiel Elliott's and the DeMarco Murray's. There's a tier up there. The Adrian Peterson's when he was in his prime. There's a difference. Those guys can make yards when there's no hole. I understand that. But I also know that there's the Chris Ivories who can, you know, batten down the hatch and get you 1,100 yards, mm-hmm. An average 4 yards a carry, you know, not five, but four, mm-hmm. And score six touchdowns or seven. I would not move up for Dalvin Cook, Lee. Absolutely not move up.
Not even two positions?
I'm not giving up a second round pick. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. There's too many needs still. Too many needs. I'm not giving up a second round pick to move up four spots. I'm not doing that. There are some questions about Dalvin Cook. Lee.
There's questions about every running back.
Yeah,
I'm not being facetious. There are
maybe some character questions there, about Dalvin Cook.
That's fair.
You know, and the Bucs do have a tight room right now.
Yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't mess with that.
Of course, you know him and Jameis. Though, so that's
you're right.
But
you're right.
I mean, and I'm not being facetious. I'm not being snark here. But all the top running backs, there's question. I mean, Leonard Fournette, the guy's always hurt. I mean, if he's always hurt in college football, who's you know what makes people think he's going to be the personification of health?
You
in
got
the
McCaffrey.
NFL?
You got McCaffrey.
Yeah,
sort of a do it all type.
Yeah, he's a do it all type, but do it all in the Pac-12, and I don't know. But that may be irresponsible than my comment there, because good players come from the Pac-12.
I would take a back in the first three rounds, Steve. But I wouldn't take a in the first round.
Now, of course, fans go.
That's what I'm saying.
Fans go bananas. You mentioned Mixon, and fans don't understand this guy's nuclear hot. I mean, not in a good way either. Fans don't understand that. I mean, he's borderline untouchable. I mean, that video is so damning, and people will say, "Oh, you know, other you know, Ray Rice." Well, people argue. Well, he was over the hill. That's why no one.
Is there a chance he doesn't get drafted, though?
Lee, if you can give a one sentence summary of who you're talking about in the video.
Okay, Joe Mixon, running back from Oklahoma, arguably the most talented running back in college football, but he got in some predicament in a late night cafe where he absolutely cold cocked a young woman. Went Marvin Hagler on her. She had to have three facial reconstruction surgeries. Video's out there. You can go to YouTube.
Has he ever apologized for that, Lee?
Lukewarm apology.
Lukewarm apology.
Just like almost because he had to. He's had some incidents since then. Like Auburn, when he played Auburn in the Sugar Bowl, Auburn fans were mocking him. Like, we don't hit women or something like that. He gave some kind of derogatory gesture to the fans. He's been suspended before. And to me, what was icing on the cake? That this guy doesn't get it. When he came out from the draft this past, you know, announced he's coming out for the draft, and he said, well, you know, I went to the draft advisory board, and he said I was going to be a first-round pick. He never went to a draft. That's a baloney story. That's all fiction. And, like, dude, all the things you got going for you, you make this up, you start telling people this, this guy's a bad dude.
Will you see him in Indy? Will you see him at the combine?
Oh no, he will not be there. He's banned from the combine because of his behavior. So he will not be at the combine. Nor will that quarterback Chad Kelly from Ole Miss for the same reason. He's got off field issues. I thought you were asking if the Colts are going to draft him.
No. I don't like using a first round pick on a running back unless he's an otherworldly talent.
I agree with you. There's only the caveat here with that. I'm usually the very same way. The only caveat is that guy the final piece of your puzzle? That's only caveat.
Two things. One, just to throw it out there, I think it's pretty lousy of the combine to start making value judgments on the players. That I don't think that's the combine's role to not invite a guy. I just think that's BS. That's just me. Take whatever that's worth. They're not the NFL. They're not a team. It's, you know, come on. As far as Mixon goes, I think as Mixon relates to the Bucs, this is supposed to be a deep running back class, top to bottom in the draft. I don't see Jason Light telling Team Glazer that we're looking at Mixon, is that okay? And they're going to come back and say, I think they would come back and say, Jason, this is a deep draft filled with running backs. You got to give us the guy who's trash. You know, the guy, I mean, well, come on, cut us a break. I don't think the Bucs would go there, especially in a deep class. But to throw this at both of you guys, Dirk Koetter, he's very much a develop young players kind of guy. That's why Humphreys and Dye played a lot 2 years ago, and then Humphreys got his shot. He believes in that big time.
Draft and develop, my man.
Draft and develop. Koetter said many times, you have to play those young guys, otherwise they'll never do anything.
Brait's another example.
That's right.
Brait's an example, but Cutter's very much in that mold. So I'll throw this out there. We don't know what Koetter really thinks about Peyton Barber, who Koetter had a lot of good things to say about him last year, and Cutter's a no BS kind of guy most of the time. And Barber, even if you wipe out his touchdown run, 44 yards against the Niners, he still averaged 3.5 yards a carry, which was way better than Doug Martin.
Look what he did against your Chiefs.
He did some good things.
He did do some good things.
And then you also go to Charles Sims. Now, we know how Lee feels about Charles Sims. We know how we all feel about Charles Sims. However, what matters is what Dirk Koetter thinks about Charles Sims. And Dirk Koetter is a Charles Sims guy.
So am I.
He's a big Charles Sims guy.
In the right role, Lee.
Now, you combine that with the fact that Koetter has already vocally said, oh, man, I went out to Jaquizz Rodgers on the field after the Carolina game and shook his hand and said, you better come back. And he likes Jaquizz Rodgers. So I just think Koetter is a guy who's like, well, if he likes all three running backs, I think he might be in the mindset of, let's find a guy in the third or fourth round that we like, and we'll go from there instead of investing big in it.
Because I don't think he looks at wide receiver that way. He looks at wide receiver like,
right,
we got to get the guy.
Exactly, because I think Koetter also might say, you know what, damn it, If Doug Martin didn't play last year, we probably would have made the playoffs with a better running game. I think he believes in what he had. And also, you mentioned DeMarco Murray before. Third round pick, Ira. Third round pick. I don't know. It's an interesting debate.
They made a lot of excuses for Doug Martin last year. All year long.
Oh, my gosh.
All
year long. Steve brought up Doug Martin. I didn't think of it. You talk about a dark horse. Let's say, I'm going to be hypothetical here, and I'm not a big Doug Martin fan. I think I've written it. It's pretty obvious they should move on. But let's say Martin comes out of rehab, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, wide-eyed, and he's like ready to rock and roll. Who knows?
Crazier things have happened, but I don't see it on this team, Steve. I don't see it.
Well, the big decision that they got to make on Doug Martin is, are they going to let him practice? Do you let him back? I'm assuming that we're maybe a couple of weeks away from that video I mentioned that his agent's going to put out, how he's back and he's working out and he's feeling good, and a statement.
Is this sort of like the lawsuit that Josh Freeman was going to file against Dominic and Shiano?
That we never heard about.
You think they let him back to practice?
Has he been in rehab, Steve?
Well, we don't know. It's all speculation. We don't know.
He said he was going.
Well, saying and doing different things. We don't know.
I don't see Doug Martin back with the 2017 Bucks. I don't see it.
I don't see it either, because if you bring him back, then you have to. You can't just bring him back halfway. Yeah. Like, if you bring him back, you got to embrace him. You got to have everyone on the team believing that Doug is the guy, and that's a tough.
And you can't bank on.
That's a tough sell.
And then he misses the first three games.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And Charles Sims.
But I agree with Lee. If you do decide to keep him, it's an interesting insurance policy, considering if he's back and healthy, you got him in a contract year with a lot to prove and his career on the line. It's interesting. I don't know. All right, Ira, any parting words?
No, but we're going to be back in a couple of days, my friend, and we got a lot more to talk about.
All right, your podcast, of course, available on iTunes. Just search Ira, Bucks, Buccaneers. Don't search Custodian of Canton. And same thing, you find it on Podbean. You can listen there. And we're out of here, Ira. All right, enjoy your wings, buddy.